Good afternoon. Please take your hymnal and stand and turn to hymn number 404, and let's sing together The Solid Rock. One more time. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Thank you. You may be seated.
So on behalf of Robin and Frances, Ruth's two sisters that are still with us, and the Gwen family and the Finley family, thank you so much for coming out tonight, today, and last night, and showing your love and support. You've overwhelmed the family with your love and your kindness. The flowers, the cards, the notices, the Facebook postings have been amazing. What a great way of showing your love. We pray that God will be glorified today in the celebration of the homecoming of our dear sister, and that each and every one of you would be comforted through this celebration. At this time, the first grandbaby, David's going to come and share with one of his heart and pray for our service.
Two and a half weeks ago, John and I sat with Ms. Holder in her den, and he reminded her of the story of Elijah. And they were going through some parts of that story, and John said, remember when Elijah just wanted to give up and quit? And somehow this song came up, and John said, you know, where I said, like that song, The God of the Mountain? And she looked at me and she said, sing it! But Ms. Holder, I don't have any, sing it! So this morning, I'm going to sing it.
There's a wonderful story tucked away in the 14th chapter of Mark. Jesus was nearing the crucifixion, and a lady came and brought her treasure. It was an expression of her life. It was very precious indeed. And she brought this precious treasure that represented her life, and she poured it out on the Savior. And the people said, why could this not have been sold and the money given to the poor? And the Savior said to them, leave her alone. She has anointed me for the burial. She hath done what she could. I was reading Miss Ruth's obituary. And while I was doing so, they came on TV again to talk about the death of Robin Williams. Robin Williams was an entertainer, a comedian. And in the past few days, he's died, and the news has been redundant with his death, and it's sad, and he committed suicide. This sad story. But while I was reading the obituary and the story of his death came on TV, I took the obituary of Miss Ruth and I hugged it to my heart. And I said, Miss Ruth, thank you for pouring out the treasure of your life on Jesus. It's worth more than all of the money and the fame and all of the rest in the world. And I personally thank you for pouring the treasure of your life out on our wonderful, beautiful Savior, Jesus. I don't know of anyone along the journey that I know that has come closer to doing what Jesus said of this woman. He said, she hath done what she could. And I think that the celebration that we're having today of this precious and dear one, I would have to say, I don't know anyone who has poured any more life treasure out on him, loving him and honoring him and serving him and talking about him and praying to him and talking to him than Miss Ruth Older. A lady of quiet Christian dignity, loving and caring and encouraging, and yet always standing kindly but firmly on her biblical convictions. And Karen and Sharon and all of the grandchildren and the family, I'm sure that you know the treasure of this precious one. And aren't we glad that we had her for a season? 3 brief memories of her. First, her sense of humor. Used to all the time, especially at funerals, she would come to me and she would say, now, Pastor Bird, you know, you promised to preach my funeral. And she would say, I don't know of anybody that does funerals better than you. And I would say to her, Miss Ruth, you know what? You'll be attending my funeral. But the truth is, she won. She beat me home. But I'm sure when I see her, we'll share a laugh about that. She used to say when something was really good that you were eating, she would say, eat it slow, she would say. Chew it slow and make it last a long time. She had a wonderful sense of humor. She had a sense of conviction. They owned a piece of property and it was going to be sold. And I remember her saying, it will never be sold to anyone who's going to sell one drop of alcohol on it ever. It may bring more money to sell it to somebody that is going to have some entainment thing or whatever where they're going to disperse alcohol. But she said, this land will never be sold to them. Her sense of conviction. Then she had such a sense, she and Brother Holder, as all of the preachers know, of encouragement. They came in late each Sunday because for 23 years they taught Sunday school in the local retirement home. 23 years. And so they would come and sit in the back and they'd wait on me because they were never obtruse people. and they would wait. And after I'd shaken hands and greeted and so on, they would be there. And I'd walk over to them. And they would say to me, "Brother Holder, always, I give you an A+ today, Pastor." And then Miss Ruth would always say, "That was so good, whether it was good or not." She was a lady of humor, a lady of conviction. She was a lady of encouragement. She was a lady of almost the personification of purity. What a pure lady. And yet, in her purity, she found the ability to extend mercy, to grant forgiveness, even in embracing to somebody that lost their way as much as I. And to share her love and her mercy and her forgiveness. Sometimes when people are as pure as her, it's terribly difficult and almost impossible to find the ability to forgive someone who has fallen into such darkness and impurity. But not her. Not him. And after I arrived in the place where we live, I received loving cards and words, and it was almost beyond belief that I who had so lost his way could be the recipient of the words and the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of these two unbelievable people. She's left us for a while. But again, Miss Ruth, we want to say thank you for pouring the treasure of your life out on our Savior, Jesus, until we can say hello again. It's time for us to take the pictures, the memories, and hang them out in the picture gallery of our minds, where we'll walk through time and again and we'll look at those pictures, and they'll encourage us and they'll lift us and they'll help us and they'll strengthen us because they're there, and she and Brother Holder painted them for us as they lived. And so I close today. By the way, she used to love to hear us, our family, sing "Tour in That City." She would ask us all the time, "Pastor, when are y'all going to sing "Tour in That City"? If we were ever together, she would say, "Are you going to sing "Tour in That City"?" And today, you know what I'm thinking about. Oh, yes. Tour in That City. Folks, she's left us the reality of only one life. 'Twill soon be past. only what's done for Christ will last. Thank you, Lord, for being here together today and for sharing the memory of a very special person. One who poured the treasure of her life out on you, and that'll be with you. Well, it's such a marvelous, wonderful reality of the fulfillment of the promise that you've given us. Thank you in Jesus' name.
It's an honor to have a part of Ms. Ruth's memorial service. And as someone from near Chicago, a Yankee, I can't think of anyone who epitomizes a proper Southern lady any more than Ms. Ruth, and her love and her grace and her encouragement has always been such a blessing to me. As Mindy said, we spent a little bit of time together 2 weeks ago, and we sang together and read scripture together and prayed together. And during that time, she reminded me of this song, which I love to hear Mindy sing, but she said that I sung it. And I don't remember ever singing it, but her memory's awfully good. So probably I did. And I haven't sung in public in a long time. So this will be a labor of love for her, for me, and probably a labor of love for you as well, to her. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter. Just a few more days to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm lost. Thank you.
On the Wednesday before, Mrs. Ruth Holder went to be with Jesus. I spent about an hour, maybe an hour and a half with her, reading chapter after chapter of the Word of God. And then she got serious with me and she made me commit to the fact that I would ensure that Al Bean was at her funeral. And that we talked for a moment about his inability to walk, and she just said, no, you tell him and he'll be there. Sad to say, Al can't be with us. He's having trouble walking, having trouble talking, and I'm sure he'll be with Jesus soon. So in just a moment, we're going to show you what Al said at Brother Wade's funeral. We're going to share that with you. Listen to the amount of the Word of God he communicates. Enjoy his description of heaven.
My dearest, precious, darling wife, Ruth, daughters, Karen and Sharon, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, relatives, friends, Christian loved ones everywhere. Indeed, the word of God is true that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. What marvelous sights, sounds, and experiences have been mine since the Lord took me home 4 days ago at 10 o'clock in the morning. Truly, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. God's grace, his unmerited, unearned, free, outpoured loving favor to me, a hell-deserving sinner, through the lovely Lord Jesus, made all this actual in my life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. To think, dearest ones, that I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians 1:4-6. To think that his sovereign love drew me in the world of space and time. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Earlier in the Bible readings, I know it was at our good brother read John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. How marvelous that he saved me and kept me all the way home to glory. John 10:27-29. The reason I'm using these scriptures, folks, is that they're proofs. Romans 8:28-30, Hebrews 7:25. People on earth very often feel or fail to realize that eternal life and God's heaven are not attainments, but are obtainments. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. the feeblest spirit-inspired cry of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21, is instantly heard. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Christ himself is all my salvation, my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption, and my glory, 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31. The merits of his precious blood are the source of every blessing. We have several Bible verses, but we won't read all of them. We'll just read one, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The pens, paint brushes, and recording instruments of mankind could not convey the glories of this delightful place. With the psalmist, we declare, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, 11b. I pause right here from reading this letter to tell you, Brother Wade is in the land of the living. We're in the land of the dying. He's leaping on the high hills of Zion, as the old Puritans would say. I shall briefly describe what has transpired in these past 4 days based on earth time. The moment I drew my last breath in the North Carolina Hospital for Veterans at 10 o'clock in the morning, and my heart ceased to beat, I, fully conscious, Wade Hampton Holder Jr., was released from my sickness-racked, frail tabernacle of clay known as my body, 2 Corinthians 5, 1-4. In that moment of emancipation, I was carried by elect angels, Luke 16:22, up through the stratosphere and the stellar heavens to the third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. So swift was this journey that truthfully, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. Heaven really is only one breath and one heartbeat away from saved people. Isn't that exciting? Lost people are one breath and one heartbeat from eternal hellfire. Being here with the Lord Jesus is far better than any favorite circumstance on earth, Philippians 1:23. Actually, I, with all true believers, am here as an answer to Christ's own prayer to the Father. John 17:24. Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. The city in which I reside is known as the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21:2-9-10. Our city is known as the Bride, the Lamb's Wife, because everyone here has been registered in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21:27, and is married to the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 7:4. No one comes here except through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No city in the ancient or modern history of the planet Earth could faintly compare in grandeur to this city, which is the eternal home of the redeemed. Hebrews 11:9, 10, and 16. The city is equal in length, breadth, and height, 12,000 furlongs, or 1,500 miles each way. Revelation 21:16. A wall 216 feet high surrounds the city, Revelation 21:17, and is made of jasper stone, clear as crystal. Revelation 21:18. The entire city is of pure gold, like unto clear glass. Revelation 21:18b. There are 12 gigantic gates, 3 on each side, with an angel at each gate. Each gate, by the way, is made of pearl and has the name of a tribe of Israel. Revelation 21:12, 13, and 21. Our city wall has 12 foundations garnished with 12 different kinds of precious stones, on which are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Revelation 21:14, 19, and 20. Precious loved ones, can you imagine a day without a night? We have no night here, and we have no need of the sun or the moon. Revelation 21:23, Revelation 22:5. The glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, are the light of this grand home. Thousands of blood-washed, twice-born saints arrive here daily by way of death. Psalm 116:50. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So you can see that there is constant traffic between earth and heaven. By the way, housing here is no problem because the Lord Jesus has many mansions prepared. John 14:1-3. Let me tell you what is not found here. There are no funeral homes, no rest homes, nursing homes, asylums, or hospitals for the mentally ill, the crippled, the handicapped, or the sick. Cemeteries are non-existent. The haunting wail of sirens, such as we hear in Fayetteville, sadly, are never heard. The New Jerusalem has no need of policemen, firemen, doctors, or dentists, although, of course, they can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And, of course, there are no jails, prisons, or locked doors. No residents in this delightful place are sick or sad or sinful. Revelation 21:4-27. Can you really envision a place without tears, death, sorrow, crying, or pain? Yet heaven is such a place that I am enjoying right now. Everyone here warmly speaks to each other. I appreciate what Brother Bird said a while ago. I hope since you've been saved, you're that way. No suspicions, resentments, estrangements, or misunderstandings exist. The very atmosphere of heaven is one of unutterable love, the agape divine love of 1 Corinthians 13, in glorious reality. Fellowship, worship, and praise are the order of the day. All of us see Jesus every day, and his name is on our foreheads, Revelation 22:4. People do not stand around on clouds playing harps, as some earthlings foolishly imagine. However, we all enjoy without weariness multiplied services to the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 22:3. Do you remember on earth we claim the Lord's covenant promise for the family? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Our loved ones are here, and you can only imagine how healthy, happy, holy, and beautiful they are to the praise of God's sovereign grace in the precious blood of the Lamb. We saints in glory are aware of many of the events on earth as part of that great host of witnesses now, Hebrews 12:1-2. I view with loving interest your Christian race, your earnest prayer life, your Bible study, your humble, uncompromising testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ with lip and life, Colossians 2:5. Walking the streets of glory in just the past 4 days, earth time, I have often heard subdued shouts of praise from other saints who learned of the conversion of loved ones, friends, or neighbors on the earth, Luke 15:7-10. Though pancreatic cancer kept me from running, walking, and breathing with ease during my earthly pilgrimage, you ought to see me now. I'm taking a guided tour of this grand city, 1,500 miles long, high, and wide, in the company of the altogether lovely, incomparable, matchless Lord Jesus Christ. My eyes and other senses are no longer failing. My voice never cracks. The heavenly antiphonal choir in which I sing is tuning up, so I'll have to close this short epistle. Remember, you are greatly loved in heaven and on the earth. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you at the right hand of the throne of God. If you've not been saved, remember the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Be steadfast and faithful in all your duties, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be earnest in giving the gospel to lost sinners, Mark 16:15. Time for labor in earth's harvest field is so short. Bible verses. Expectantly awaiting your homecoming in death, Psalm 116:15, or the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And sending you all my love, I remain your loving Wade Hampton Holder, Jr. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, that homecoming's occurred exactly as he described. Some of you might think that my relationship with Mrs. Holder began when I became the pastor. But in reality, it started in the year 1988, before, I think, just about all of you. David would be the exception. When were you born, David? In 85, all right, so you were just the first and a little. And you talked about what an encourager she was. And I know that in a very personal way. You see, my wife came down from Hiles Anderson to teach at the academy in first grade. And with that trip down here, she brought an engagement with her. She was engaged. And I laid eyes on her and thought, I want to marry her. But she was engaged. Mrs. Holder taught second grade, and my wife taught first grade. And they were side by side in the old youth building back in those days. And I went to her and I said, what do I do? You know, this woman's engaged, you know? And she was such an encourager. And well, you see what happened. I won. Her encouragement won out. And so I say to you, there's hope. And there's a young man out there for you. And forget about what happened at Hiles. And know that what your grandmother would want more than anything else is for you to marry a young man that loves Jesus beyond measure. If there's something that stands out in my mind about Mrs. Ruth Holder, it was the reality that for her, there was no doubt that Jesus was real. Jesus was her best friend. Jesus was right there. When she talked to Jesus, he was listening. There wasn't a moment of a fraction, a minuscule doubt. Jesus listened to Mrs. Holder. They knew each other. There was a close personal relationship. And I want to say to especially the grandchildren, David and all, that I believe that the reason she knew Jesus the way she did is she wore the pages of this book out. And I just want to tell you, you're not going to know Jesus like your grandmother knew Jesus if you don't wear the pages of this book out. She loved the Word of God. She was crazy about the Word of God. She loved to hear it. She loved to quote it. And every promise applied to her. And she would seize those promises. And she would just pray in faith. And she expected that because she was claiming a promise from the Word of God, that God was going to hear and answer her prayers. And there was no doubt in her mind. And like the Apostle John, who wrote, no greater joy does he have than to hear that his children are walking in the truth. I just want to challenge you on her behalf. Don't lose your way. Stay faithful to the end. Stay faithful. David, you're such a young man with many more years of ministry. On behalf of your grandmother, I say to you, walk in the truth. Preach the truth. Stay in the truth. Honor her legacy. Raise those children in that way. Heather, there's no doubt that God's going to open your room and he's going to give you grandbabies that now and children. And raise them like your mom was raised. Embrace it. To each of you, Karen and Sharon, you have an amazing legacy of what it means to be a grandmother. You have seen it done better than the best. I say to each of you, live it out. Live it out. Take every memory and live it out so that they have what you have. Give it back to them. And to each and every one of you that were so gracious to come and honor us with your presence, if by chance that there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus, I know that the single thing that Mrs. Holder would expect me to do is to plead with you, to earnestly plead with you to put your faith in Christ. I would be completely remiss in my duties if I did not, at the close of this service, ask each and every one of you to consider your walk with the Lord and ask yourself, will you be with the Lord when you take that final breath? Have you put your faith in Christ? I don't want you to assume anything. Mrs. Ruth Holder would not want you to assume anything. She would ask you to examine yourself. Is there fruit in your life that gives evidence of the reality that you've been converted? Because for us, our absolute assurance that there is not anything here but that shell of a body is that the fruit of the Spirit was all over her life. Love and joy and hope and self-control, all over it. All the fruit of the Spirit. She lived it out each and every day, giving us the greatest assurance that the Spirit of Christ was inside her, working out this salvation. And so if by chance there's someone here that isn't saved, would you today put your faith in Christ? Would you consider, have I put my faith in Christ? Mindy's going to come and sing right now. She's got an amazing song for us to listen to. Let the words of the song bless your heart and meditate on your walk with the Lord.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven.
Thank you.
John.
Let's all stand together. Lord, our hearts have been refreshed and encouraged. Our souls have been nourished through the speaking, the sharing, the preaching of the word, the reading of the word. We've been helped and encouraged through songs that remind us of an eternal significance, an eternal reality, an enduring that has been set in the hearts of men since the foundation of the world. And we are encouraged to know of another saint that lived a life that was consistent with her testimony until death. And we are driven and motivated. We are compelled to be dedicated, to be consecrated. We are compelled, we are constrained to be people that can have these things said of our faithfulness to Christ for thy great name's sake. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Gentlemen, if you'll come, I ask you to remain standing until the procession has left the auditorium. We'll need the pallbearers to come forward. Let me ask each of you to join the procession to the Cross Creek Cemetery. If you'll make sure you turn the lights on in your automobile, and we'll be led there by the folks from the funeral home. Thank you.